Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Time now for The Drive with Mark Ennis on 93.9 The Ville. The Drive is brought to you by Fitness Market, Louisville's premier location for fitness equipment and in-home saunas. Online at thefitnessmarket.com. Now here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
And welcome into The Drive, everybody. Welcome into The Drive, everybody. My name is Jeff Lightsey Jr. Holding it down for a few minutes until Mark gets in here. 38-31-93-9 is the text line. 38-31-93-9 is the text line. We have a loaded show today, as it is the dead heat of summer. There was a ton of local events that were taking place today, mainly centered around the TBT. As we know, the basketball tournament, the TBT, will take place here for the second year in a row in the city of Louisville with the Ville, headlined by the Ville team here. And some of those guys spoke today. Russ Smith, Montrezl Harrell, Peyton Siva all spoke at different moments, different points of time today. Hopefully we'll get some of that sound for you because they're excited about year two of the TBT. The bracket was revealed. It was revealed that the Louisville team will take on United, the BU Bellarmine team, in their first round of the matchup. Brackets were announced. The roster was announced. Let me see if I could go ahead and pull up that TBT roster. So this was the official roster that was released today via the TBT. It includes Chinonu Anuaku from last year's team. Seven returners, I want to say, from last year's team, which includes Nanu, Dylan Avar, Russ Smith, Peyton Siva, Kyle Keurig, Nick Mayo, and Omar Pruitt. All of those guys played on last year's team, with Nick Mayo and Omar Pruitt being the only two that didn't play for the University of Louisville. And then, of course, the two newcomers are Montrezl Harrell and Chris Jones. Let me know your thoughts. 38-31-93-9, the UPS Jobs text line. How do you guys feel? How are we feeling about this roster? Let me read it to you one more time. Nanu, Dylan Avar, Trez, Chris Jones, Russ Smith, Peyton Siva, Kyle Keurig, Nick Mayo, and Omar Pruitt. And if you remember last year, I want to say this team, they won two games and then lost their third game before the finals, the regional finals. And it was also revealed, as if you follow me on Twitter, the Louisville winner will play the Lexington winner. These two regionals will match up. The destination site will be determined by whoever gets the most fans in attendance, both at Rupp Arena throughout the regionals and at Freedom Hall throughout the regional section. So it is going to be based on attendance, on who gets a chance to host it. And you know, we need to be able to host against the La Familia team down in Lexington. How are we feeling about the team, though? 38-31-93-9 is the UPS Jobs text line. 38-31-93-9 is the UPS Jobs text line. I'll let you know how I'm feeling. I'm feeling okay. I'm not going to say I'm overwhelmed. I'm not going to say this is a championship winning team. I'm feeling okay, though. Like, I like our team. I do think we upgraded. I think we upgraded on some talent. Anytime you can add a Montrezl Harrell, that helps. Anytime you can add a guy like Chris Jones, who had 25 against the Louisville team last year, that helps. I'm curious to how Kyle Keurig looks this year. Because last year, if you remember, now we're going to break down some TBT left for those who attended the games. Kyle Keurig came in just like everybody on the team. Kyle Keurig came in with a lot of hype because everybody was excited about seeing him play again. Kyle's corner was made famous at Freedom Hall. he shut down Freedom Hall, if you remember. So seeing Cal Keurig back at Freedom Hall and knowing his pro playing career, he's played in one of the highest, you know, ranked leagues in Europe for, what, the last decade or so. Like, Cal Keurig has been that guy. Everybody alludes and talks about the level of competition that he plays overseas versus a lot of other people. But in the TBT, to me, he left some to be desired. He left some to be desired. So if Kyle is able to have a better showing in this year's team and Trez is on a mission, that is one thing that has been made abundantly clear. He wants to play in the NBA again. And TBT did a virtual kind of like bracket reveal. And they had, it was all via Zoom led by John Fanta. And they had Trez and Russ speaking. And it was like a 7-minute clip. Of Trez, of Russ, speaking about this opportunity to play in front of the fans again, this opportunity to play at Freedom Hall again, this opportunity to play here in Louisville once again with guys that they, you know, won a championship with guys that they played with guys that they have, you know, lifelong relationships with. And it all, like, was, like, emotional. It was sentimental. It was nice. It was really cool to see that. But one thing Trez made abundantly clear is that he's using this opportunity to get back into the NBA. He's using this opportunity to showcase his talents for NBA teams, that he is still an NBA player. And so an only way to do that is to go out and dominate your competition. The only way to show the league, especially after missing nearly 2 years, he revealed to us, and I didn't even realize it until he said it today, that he hasn't played in the NBA in 18, you know, in a year and a half is the correct term that he used. He said a year and a half due to injuries, he hasn't played in the league. And so he feels like he's still an NBA player. He feels like he can still contribute to an NBA team. He feels like the NBA is where he is supposed to be. And so he wants to use this as essentially a summer workout, a summer tryout to get back to the league. The only way to do that with a bunch of guys, or against a bunch of guys that aren't in currently in the NBA, is to dominate. And that makes me feel good to know that Montrezl Harrell has to go out there and dominate to prove that he deserves another shot in the NBA. Makes me feel good. Makes me feel really good. It makes me like our chances. And so when you look at the team, the way the team is currently constructed, you essentially replaced Chris Dow, which I love, man. I love Chris Dow on this team last year. You replace Chris Dow with Chris Jones, and you replace Shane Bohannon with Montrezl Harrell. Really would have loved if Shane could have played on this year's team. Don't know what happened there. But that is, those are the biggest takeaways, because guys like Rakeem Buckles, Luke, Wayne Blackshear, they were on the team last year. They didn't play a ton. Luke was like a pseudo coach. I think he'll be on the bench again this year as a coach, and they'll be led by none other than Rhys Gaines. And I like the tweet, if you guys missed it, the tweet that Rhys Gaines actually put out. Let me see if I can pull up what Rhys Gaines had to say in regards to their first round matchup. Like I said, their first round matchup will be against, so Louisville is technically a 2 seed in their regional, and their game will be Saturday, July 20th at 1 p.m. If you're not able to make it over, I encourage everyone to make it over to Freedom Hall. If you can, tickets are on thetournament.com/tickets. But it's July 20th, Saturday at 1 p.m. If you're not able to make it over to Freedom Hall, this game will be nationally broadcasted on Fox. And Rhys Gaines, he doesn't tweet very often, but he did tweet this. He said, "Scotty D and Knights fans, I love you, but but we got to win. But we have to go there and handle business." And the really cool thing about this matchup, too, and I heard Russ Smith talking about this earlier today, because he did the virtual press conference via Zoom with John Fanta, Montrez, and then he also headlined him and Peyton Siva with Mayor Greenberg, a press conference that was held out at Freedom Hall. And he said, one cool thing about this, you know, first round matchup, a 2-7, is that the Bellarmine guys also get a chance to play in front of the home crowd. The TBT was so popular, so successful last year here in Louisville with Bellarmine players, or at least one, Chris Dow on last year's team. The Bellarmine guys that know Russ, know Peyton, that played against these guys as far as practicing, during summer runs, all of that stuff. These guys now get an opportunity to play on a national level, to play in front of their friends, family, and loved ones, and to play right here in the city of Louisville as well. That is all super, super dope. That is cool. Russ referenced that and was like, hey, man, it's going to be awesome to do that. It's going to be awesome to get in and get it in against these guys, guys that we've practiced against, guys that we've known for years, guys that, you know, really, really love the game of basketball. And it's really cool to see that take place because I know, you know, everyone will be tough sports. Everyone will be competitive. Everyone will give it an opportunity to really get it in on that stage. So that is the TBT. It's really cool to see that really taking place again. I hope we continue to have great crowds because Kentucky also announced their team as well when it comes to, you know, they will have one thing that's super, super funny about the UK team is that they have like a full staff. Like they have a GM, an assistant GM, a player development person, like four assistant coaches. like they're taking this very, very seriously. Tawani Beckham and those guys down at the La Familia team really, really love what they've been able to put together. And they hope to be able to host that regional against the Louisville team. They hope to have a record number of people. They expect a ton of people to come out to Rupp Arena to watch them as well. We have to not get shown up and be able to show up ourselves against each other, against the Bellarmine, starting with the 2-7 game against Bellarmine and then working on through. We've got Mr. Mark Ennis here. How's it going, Mark? How you doing, sir?
Doing great.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
Yeah, just chatting about TBT, man, and the excitement that the guys brought to it today. You know, Peyton, Russ, Montrez all got a chance to talk about it, both at Freedom Hall and out with the TBT guys, John Fanton, those guys. And it's really cool to see, like, them really be excited about it, the roster being complete, the bracket being set, and us getting a chance to go out and see all these guys play once again.
It's funny. I hope fans take this opportunity in particular to, like, re-welcome or re-celebrate Montrez.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, out of everybody. Because, one, some of these guys that are on this year's team, they already got last year's experience. Mm-hmm. And kind of, I don't know how many of us thought we'd ever get to see Russ or Peyton play for anybody.
Yeah.
around here last year. But what I hope happens for everyone is a chance to celebrate Montrez because of the whole disassociation thing that happened with the NCAA. I know he was hurt by that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that nobody enjoyed that they did that. You know, we could debate whether that was the right thing to do or not. Obviously, it didn't help a whole lot in the long run with what happened. But that's a guy that should be near and dear to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And you at least with this get a chance to sort of lean in and celebrate that guy in particular and show Louisville fans celebrate that guy.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome, too. Just to add to it is that, like, he's very open about using this as an opportunity to get back to the NBA.
So which is fine with me.
Yeah. And so to me, all that screams is, hey, I'm here to, you know, play some really high level basketball. Like, I'm really here to dominate this competition because the only way to show that I can still be the guy that won Sixth Man of the Year in the NBA, I can still be the guy that had multiple contracts in the NBA, something that just doesn't happen very often, period. But especially for second round picks and dudes that were technically undersized or whatever to carve out nearly a decade in the league and to feel like, hey, I can get back there. He knows what it takes to get to the league. He knows what it takes to stay in the league. So he understands what type of show he has to put up in a tournament, in an exhibition, or a game, games like this, to make it back to the highest level of basketball as we, you know, today celebrate the NBA draft. All the new crop of guys. So you got to beat out those guys, the guys already in the league, and guys like yourself trying to get back in the league. And so I like that type of Montrez, that motivation to be able to take place this July at TBT.
Yeah, Jeff Brohm, you know, always talks about wanting guys with a chip on their shoulder and, you know, that sort of thing. Montrez is that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a quiet guy.
Mm-mm.
And I think Montrez is just one of those guys that requires you to want him specifically. And not just a guy to fill a role. You got to want him. You got to want Montrez. But if you do, like, you're going to get everything you hope for. I just hope he finds that. And I hope this gives him a chance to at least show some of that.
Now, Mark, I'm glad you're here because one of the things, one of the common things around at least this iteration, this because TBT is still new here. So as long as Russ, Peyton, Montrez, Chris Jones, guys like that are a part of it, there will always be that connection to Rick Pitino. And I heard John Fanta today asked him specifically about Rick Pitino. What are your thoughts? Like, because I know some people are still like clamoring for the Rick Pitino past. There's some people that wish we would completely disassociate ourselves from Rick, like almost like it feels like he has from us. Do you think about it at all? Is it just something
about Rick?
Well, just about how he will always be attached to the universe. Like, is that good for the basketball program to always kind of have the Rick Pitino factor looming around? I'm just curious on how you think about that. Because somebody asked me that, and I had to think about it a little bit. Like, just whether it's TBT or just anything because the last few coaches have been so bad or the situations haven't worked out right. If they're asking about Louisville basketball, it seems like they're still asking about Rick Pitino as opposed to just asking about Louisville basketball.
Yeah, it's hard to disentangle somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That in the same way that it was associated with Denny, like it was different.
Yeah.
But it did come to be associated with him. And that there, I think that there were some real sore feelings in a few camps. But I think by and large, people would welcome an opportunity to celebrate him and the time that he was here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's always a lot easier to have kind of a objective, just appreciation for the good times when things are fine.
Yeah.
Afterwards,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because when it's not, I think everyone sort of feels some of that anger and frustration that it's nowhere near what it was, you know, when he was here. And so I think to the extent that Pat Kelsey gets things rolling, it will be even easier.
Yeah.
For that to happen. But like when it comes to sort of the feelings about Rick, it's pretty one-sided. It seems like to me.
Yes, it is.
Like Rick, I don't know that man ever loved us.
Ooh,
I think he
okay.
loved elements of being here.
Okay.
I think he, but boy, it's like with the way he just sort of Google eyes UK. To me, it felt in retrospect, like in totality, boy, it sure feels like he was just like a 17-year exercise in trying to make UK jealous.
Man, that is crazy? A long time. I mean, but you're not wrong in that case. Like, because of the way he speaks about UK and the way he just doesn't reference right. Louisville at all. Like at all. And I think that's the only thing that still kind of bothers me is that a lot of Louisville fans are Louisville fans because of what they saw Rick Pitino's teams do. Like just because he was here for so long and he covered like the lifespan or the adult lifespan of a lot of fans, you know, their existence. And so to see that you have these legendary players, you have these players that still love this community, love this place, love this program, but the guy that led them into battle every game and that won a ton of games and they won a ton of games for or with just doesn't reference the university at all.
Yeah.
That is that's the only thing that kind of bothers me because it does make it seem like you said, it was just a nearly two-decade experiment on getting his old job jealous.
Yeah, I don't think he's interested in being celebrated here.
You just don't
do
think
you?
So? Not really.
Yeah.
Not really.
And my appreciation of Rick as a coach has grown since he's been gone.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I'm still right now, you put a gun to my head, like, you have to win one game, I want Rick Pitino coaching my team. No question.
Yeah.
Like, I would say that right now.
Yeah.
I want him to, that's the guy that I would want. I think his ego is wounded by what happened here.
Yeah.
I understand that. I don't think he's interested in reconciling or being celebrated in the least here.
See, and that's it. And the reason why I feel the way that I feel is because I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
Like he's the reason that he won't ever be celebrated,
and
not
that's
us.
And that's the thing. Like, yeah. Because everybody that, whether he felt like he was done wrong, whatever, all those people are gone.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, literally all of them from university. I mean, there's been a couple of presidents. There's been a couple of ADs.
We're several generations removed, right?
Like, all of that stuff. Like, it's a new board. It's a completely clean slate. It's a new mayor. It's a new governor. It's new everything. Everything is different. And so why is it that I feel like the vitriol animosity. Now, I'm not acting like the way everything went down with him was pretty. It wasn't. It was ugly. And he's a very prideful man. But to have all of these connections to the city, to this program, to this place, and to just feel like, I don't even know if he's even said the word Louisville since he left. Like, I don't even know if he's like the word has ever came out of his mouth after that ESPN interview he did with like Greeny back in like 2017. Like, after that, I don't know if he's even said the word. And so to see that, but to also have this affinity and love for his former players, for his former teams, it's something that makes me feel weird, because I don't think, like you said, reconciling or celebrating these guys like they should, I don't know if that'll ever happen. And that, I think that's the thing that kind of like still bothers me a little bit. It's weird. It's weird.
Yeah, I think the good news is I don't think that there's the rancor and the factionalism that came with Denny, where I think like a whole generation of players and fans closer, higher in age at the time that he was ushered out, felt like everyone had just sort of turned their back on that whole era of basketball.
Why is that, though? I you're right, but why do you think that's like that? Because, like, there was, like, even when Kenny got hired, you saw, like, the Denny guys that were gone for 20 years kind of come back. Why? Because why is it that they felt, is it because they felt like Denny was pushed out and they wanted to turn their back on the program? But that's not the case with this Rick Pitino. Like, why do you think it's like that?
That's a good question. I don't ever get to tell people they ask a good question very often.
Okay.
There we go. I think I could get used to this.
Yeah.
off the cuff, I think there was a very real feeling that, like, Denny was being ushered out for someone else. They don't want me. They want someone else. Mm-hmm. And that with Rick, it was, we have to, because it's off the rails.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that there's the feeling that, like, hey, we're rejecting you and the way you do things. We just can't keep you. That's with Denny. I think it was like, we have to do something else. And people feel like, well, shouldn't you be a little bit more respectful about whatever, mm-hmm. right? Like that, yeah. that sort of thing. That's what I think is different about the situations, mm-hmm. and why it doesn't necessarily feel like that. And the players don't, like, it's funny. The players have a much different reaction. Like, very few of them were like, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
When that happened, which is good.
Yeah.
It's good. And I think that might be why.
Yeah, no, like you said, Russ, Peyton, Luke, all these guys played for Rick. Like, the only basketball coach they know at Louisville is Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
They're still here. They still light up when they talk about Louisville. They still meet all the Louisville players, come to the practices, hang out. They all still have businesses here. Like, they live here. Like, they're excited about playing here. Is it because of Rick's personality? I'm wondering if it's because, like, we know Coach.
Sure.
He's a stubborn man. Yeah. And we understand why the school had to do with it. Like, they understand, because these are adults now. Like, these aren't college students. Like, these are, you know, men in their 30s. Like, hey, we get it. The university had to do what they had to do because of X, Y, and Z. We know our coach. We understand that he can be a very stubborn man. But that's not going to take away the fact that we love this place. We love this program. We love this city because our coach has beef with him. Like, I kind of feel that way. And I think it may be because of the personality of Rick Pitino versus, and the situations were different. Like you said, the Denny kind of was ushered out because of whatever. And I feel like his players maybe felt like, or the guys that played under him over a longer period of time. Yeah. He felt like he got a raw deal. Yeah. Yeah. Got a raw deal. And I think also now, I wonder if Luke's ever I guess I'll ask you this, because
I'll tell you what Luke thinks.
Yeah, like, just if he's ever told you this. Because there was always that thing, like, that Rick, especially in early in his career, didn't reach out or look out for the guys that played for Denny. Has Luke ever alluded to that? Now, that he was several
Not
years after the start of the Pitino era, but, like, did he ever say, like, hey, you know, the Denny guys, Rick wasn't the biggest fan of them coming around?
No.
Or yeah.
No, and I wouldn't presume to even guess, like, what is in Rick's mind about that.
Of course.
So I really don't know. But no, Luke never really has. I know that Luke's always felt like, we have talked about, just is happy to have a good relationship with those guys. Like it was never like the Rick players don't like those guys.
Yeah.
And I think that that's true. I don't think that any of them really felt that way.
No, I just didn't know, because like I said, the animosity that felt like that was there was the guys that played like from 99 back versus the guys that played under Patino. Like there's like no love lost as far as the university, the school, like those guys, the guys that played under Patino, even though they could probably feel like their coach got did wrong or whatever, they don't show it anyway. Like they don't, they still come to games, they still come to practices. Even when we're down or when we're losing or whatever, Chris Brickley shows up to the Yum Center.
Yeah.
Luke Hancock hangs around. Donovan Mitchell comes back for a football game. Like all of these guys still seem to be actively involved. And that is, that's pretty cool, I think. I think that's a really cool thing to see.
And this is where I think Pat has a real opportunity, because he just, he doesn't belong to anyone who had a hand in anything. Mm-hmm. Like even Chris Mack, who I think really tried very, very hard to bridge that gap, was still seen as the guy hired by Vince.
Yeah.
Who was the guy that replaced Tom.
Yes.
Right? And so, like, there was always going to be a little bit of that. This is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Josh hired him, three coaches removed now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, at this point. I don't think that he has any issues. Like, he doesn't have to pick a side. They're all just former players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one's aligned with anybody, and I think he's got a chance. What I think is fascinating is the text line.
I see buzzing over there. Right. It has not stopped.
Can I just read a couple of these very quickly?
Yeah.
Just to show you just how different the reactions are. Texter said, the university needs to make a gesture, too. That's towards Rick, like you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Next texter. I hope, wish, and pray that the coach Pat Kelsey era can make Rick Pitino a distant memory. Chris Mack and Kenny Payne failed miserably in doing that. Pitino's players will always be loved and cherished here. I loved U of L because of Coach Crum, not a former UK employee.
I love
that. Next texter, who sent a series of texts and is a regular and is a good listener. All the time. Take a poll. 90% would say they love Rick. Thanks for the great times. F the NCAA hangs the banner. Hang the banners. 10% prudes. He was too problematic. So like you couldn't have two more different opinions. And that's probably true. I think that the, you know, look, I never really liked him about Rick.
Yeah.
Like that's a faction that's out there.
Oh, definitely.
And there's good and bad that comes with Rick everywhere he goes.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
But look, I think he's to be celebrated in time.
I do too.
Now, there was a question that was asked, and I would love to know what you think about this. If and when they okay us to hang the 2013 banner in the rafters, do you think they extend an invitation to Rick, and would he accept it? Let's take a break.
Okay, let's do
and
it.
Let's answer that.
Yes.
Because I'm kind of curious what you and others think about that as well. We'll come back here. Be right back on The Drive on iThunderville.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
To The Drive, presented by Fitness Market, right here on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr. Phone lines are open if you want to give us a call, 8150-939. 38-31, 93-9. The TBT draw being announced today.
Yes.
The latest edition of a collection of former players. It's always an easy opportunity to sort of bring up what remains of kind of these open questions and sore feelings about Rick and the end of his tenure and that sort of thing. So the question that was posed by a texter, like, and I agree with the way it was framed, when they get the okay.
Yeah, because it's going to happen.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's going to happen. It's either going to be some sort of ingenious court case. You know, a long time ago, Mark Blankenbaker said it should be a thing that everyone that goes to law school at U of L should be required to come up with some brief, some legal argument, some grounds. Like, it should be a project or a class or something to get the banner restored legally.
I'm not mad at that.
I think it's a great idea.
I'm not mad at that
Take
at all.
Take that up, please, and do that. But in the event that it finally does happen, if and when that happens, and you want to talk about like a celebration.
A man.
Right?
Might have another parade.
You might have to hold it at Cardinal Stadium.
No,
you
know what I mean? No, it's like, going to be awesome.
Would they invite Rick? Would he come? I don't think that there's any doubt they would invite him.
Absolutely.
I think that they would invite him for sure. And I think now he would come. I do. Yeah, I think, first of all, I think with him, what's different about him versus Tom is you've got kind of the mutual non-disparagement.
Yeah.
And Rick just dropped his lawsuit.
Yeah.
That's different. Mm-hmm. Like, settled, and like, here's an NDA by each side. Like, the reason you never hear U of L say anything to Tom, and they never hear Tom really talk a whole lot about U of L, they're not allowed to.
Yeah.
He got paid, and that's part of it.
Yeah.
Right? So they're not really allowed to. And so those of you who say, like, U of L should do this, they're not gonna, because they really kind of have agreed to just not talk about each other.
Yeah.
And Tom's not gonna be effusive in his praise. He's not gonna rip U of L. It's like, it's just, it's not gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's kind of how Tom is too.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And there's
Rick's
not
Rick's free to do whatever the hell he wants.
That and that's the difference,
which we already knew.
he was going to do that regardless. Like, it was no NDA that he couldn't get around or stop that was going to stop him from doing it. I'm surprised that you think he would come back now. I'm not saying he wouldn't. I just don't know if it happened today. I don't know. I agree with you 100% that they have to extend the invite. I mean, come on, we can't be silly here. Plus, once again, as we said earlier, no one that was involved in anything regards to Tom Jurich or Rick Pitino is still here. Like, they're kind of removed two and three times over.
Yeah.
Like, even Kenny Klein's retired. So it's like literally everybody is gone. And his replacement is now gone. So, yeah. These are brand new, fresh faces, new people that have to get briefed on what happened. In some cases. So I definitely think they invite him. If it happened today, I don't know. If he's still coaching, I don't know. I'd more along the lines of I don't know. Don't think he would if he's still coaching. And at the signs of it, I mean, he could coach literally forever. Like, I don't think if he would ever stop coaching. But if in like 5 to 10 years and if he's done coaching, I do think he shows up. I think it's depending on if he's still coaching and how long, like if it's next year, 2 years from now, don't know, 3, 4, 5 years from now, I think there's a lot better chance. But because he is a very, very stubborn man, he's a very stubborn man, full of pride, a very prideful man, it just would be interesting. If they said that they were going to issue some sort of an apology or like a lovey-dovey tour, I mean, he would still get loved. Like, as much as there's texters that say, like, hey, let's distance ourselves from him, if Kelsey's the coach, whoever's the coach, and the reception that he would get from the fans here would still be overwhelmingly positive, I believe. And so that's why I think there is a chance. It's just dependent on, how he feels, how his wife feels. There was the stories that came out that his wife wasn't crazy about Richard being in the mix here. There was those stories. And so I think all of that still matters, but it is very, very interesting type of case study on whether or not he would actually show up for it.
I think the better he does at St. John's, the more likely it is that he'd be willing to come back, you know, for that.
And
it's not unlike what we were just saying about it's easier for fans. Like Louisville football, how different would everyone feel about, say, John L. Smith?
Mm-hmm.
If they never really got back up off the mat after he left, right?
Well,
but the
true fact
that like things went on and you fired what multiple really good coaches after him and the program has continued on.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, God love him, that guy.
Yeah,
I mean, he absolutely dumped on the program when he left.
Yeah,
But it's fine.
Yeah.
It showed that he was wrong.
Yeah,
about that.
It's elevated to new heights.
And you just remember the stuff that you liked and the good stuff that happened while he was here, and everything's fine. If Rick, I think it's the same thing. If Rick doesn't feel that there's even a hint of you took the best thing from me, then he'll be back. I don't have no doubt about that.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think that's a valid point because I think that still because Rick was the last coach to even sniff the pinnacle. That's another thing. Like, he was the last coach to even sniff high-level tournament success. Like, not just getting to the tournament, not just winning a game or two, Sweet 16. Like, Final Fours in a championship during the time of Rick Pitino. All-Americans, conference championship tournament wins, and regular season conference titles. Like, we haven't sniffed much of any of that since he's been gone. And now we're running up into the better part of a decade now. Like we're 7-8 years removed from even getting close to that. And that goes into your John L. point. Like, since John L., you've had multiple coaches reach at least what he's done, and a lot of them more. Like, whether it's 10 wins, Heisman Trophy winner, Sugar BCS Bowl wins, like, all of that stuff has happened since John L.'s left, whereas won a national championship, multiple Final Fours, and we haven't even gotten to the tournament since 2019 and haven't, made it to won a game in the tournament in over half a decade. And that is like, dang, that brings up that nostalgic feeling. Like, man, when that guy was here, we didn't have these problems. Not to say we didn't have any problems,
right?
But winning games and people showing up to the games, yeah, we didn't have those type of problems. And that is why I think so many people still clamor for him.
81-50-93-9, that's the number if you want to get in here. Let's get DJ in here. You and do the phones there. Spencer, since I'm over here. DJ, welcome into the drive, buddy. What's up?
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call. Listen, we got a great hire in our new basketball coach. Yeah. And I'm a ride with him. But let me just say this. I think you guys have made a great point since 3 o'clock. And I know that this is water under the bridge, but let me just say, since you guys give me an opportunity, let me just say, all of Rick guys would run through a wall for him. He would get 3-4 stars, and just like Lou, and these guys would ball out. You guys know that.
Yep.
Now, let me say this. I would be sort of salty also if I was Rick. Let me tell you why. This guy, think about all that he has done, which you guys have said, and think about, I want you to go in depth, like the Big East tournament, when we won that and we were down 30-something points and we came back and beat them. I had a friend that was at the game, and, man, they gave him hell. They gave him hell. They gave him hell in the bathroom at Madison Square Garden. Anyway, when we made that run and came back, he was howling. And Derek Coleman, all of them just had their head down, couldn't say nothing. It was some monumental moments that he did with some talent that were 3 and 4 stars. And I respect him for that. And I want to say, for those who don't know, I'll say this real quick. This is how it went down. He used to call John Snyder, Papa John guy. He used to call, they never did get along, and he used to call him the pizza guy down the street. And John Snyder hated Rick's guts. But our governor at the time, what's it starts with a B? Help me out. I got a brain freeze.
Matt Bevin?
Yes.
It's great that you forgot his name, by the way. I'm just gonna, that's the only political thing I'm saying.
I just had a brain freeze.
No, it's fine. I'm good with it. You're good.
but him and Snyder were cool. And so he told him to do this thing to Rick, which he did, put all the Kentucky people on the board. We all know the story. And they got rid of Rick. I hate it for our athletic director, Tom, because he was collateral damage.
Yeah.
They wasn't going after Tom. They were going after Rick, all because Snyder didn't like Rick. And so Bevin was, you know, he did it. You scratch my back, I'm going to scratch yours. And that's how it went down. The guy got, talking about the coach, he's got a tattoo on his arm. This guy loved the community. He loved the university. And for them to do him like that, he felt like nobody had his back. And so I would be a salty also. I know I said a lot, but you got to look at it from his perspective. All that he put in and all that, it wasn't like up the road where you got 5 stars and, you know, he didn't do no more than what we did. I think he made it a 1 more Final Four than we did. But that was it, with all that talent. And nobody wants to say nothing, because when on Inside the NBA, when Kenny Smith say, man, it's a terrible shame you got all that talent, you only got 1 championship, then they want to hush him up. But anyway, I hang up and listen.
Appreciate it,
you
DJ.
Know, like I said.
Thank okay. you. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. Sorry, I didn't mean to rush him off there, but. Look, I still don't know what to make of whatever the hell it was that was attempted with Bevin making over the board and
oof,
such.
Yeah. That's a trip down memory lane right there.
No kidding. And I don't want to go ever, like, anywhere close to that ever again.
I agree.
And I think we won't. Yeah. If you tell me he thought he was trying to fix something that was out of control and he just did a terrible job, you can make a case for that. If you tell me I'm laying waste to this place, I have a hard time believing the government would do that intentionally, but I don't think it broke his heart.
No, not at all.
I tell you that. I don't think he was sad about it at all.
I may be close to option number two.
Yeah,
may be,
that's me personally.
I'm definitely more along option number two, because just the way it kind of went down, and it was almost like I'm waiting for a mess up.
When happened. I get an opportunity, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's like two... I'm not going to ever say to Bevin's credit, never. Right. But what happened, like, they messed up. Like, that was on them. Like, yeah. Giving him the opening.
He never had the right to do what he did.
No, he did
any
not.
Any of that stuff.
He did right. not. But once he saw the opening.
Yeah.
At, like, oh, this is the third time in X amount of years. Like, oh, yeah, I'm going to take it. And the thing is, when you have that many mess ups in such a short amount of time.
You give people an opening.
There we right? go. And, right. and especially yeah. a very powerful person that didn't look like he had any good up his sleeves. You allow
and
them
relish,
to do that.
I think, sort of mm-hmm. being a chaos agent,
yes.
right? Because UofL wasn't the only place you just sort of unilaterally overmade a board and got rebuked for it, but the damage was done.
Yes,
at that point, mm-hmm. no question yes. About that. And look, the way that the couple of things went, or the way that Kenny's couple of years went, I'm much more open to the idea of conspiratorially minded interpretations of these things than I ever was previously. So if yes. I ever really busted your balls in the past about that, I'm sorry. I might have been wrong. That's the best I can do.
There's a non-zero chance that yes. we've been sabotaged.
Yes. Yes. There, you hear me saying it, okay? Maybe we can all be united around at least it being possible. It, mm-hmm. Even if it wasn't intentional, it happened.
It definitely happened. Yeah.
And the goal was definitely not to leave this place the same.
No. Mm-mm. Or but better. I, or better.
I agree with that. I like the people that are in charge now.
Yes.
And I think they have this place's best interest at heart, and I hope that they are successful.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need more of that. Let's get Eddie in here next. Eddie, welcome into the Drive, buddy. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys.
Hey, buddy.
First, I want to say a little off topic, but on subject, our boy Russ Smith just picked up my TBT bottle of Mr. and Ms. Smith bourbon.
There you go.
That's awesome.
So go out there, get them. They're beautiful. And then also on the TBT, just want to throw it out. As a Louisville fan, right, I mean, it's mind-blowing that we still got tickets for sale at Freedom Hall to go see these boys this summer. I went last year. Man, those were some of the best games. I mean, it's just an electric environment. We get to see our boys. So, people, go on. Get the tickets. What else are you doing on that Saturday? Like, don't sit at home and watch it. Go to Freedom Hall. Freedom Hall, that's our holy ground. So, just wanted to throw that out. As far as Ricky P, I mean, I think, look, you can't get anybody to agree on anything, right? So there's always going to be some people that want to distance themselves, whatever. I'm just going to say, I think it was Max. It may have been after Mac had already been, they'd already come to an agreement. But going back to Russ Smith when they did his jersey retirement, right? Patino did that video.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Message. So, I mean, the fact that, look, like, you couldn't have gotten Bobby Knight at that point to do a video message for one of his boys.
That's right.
He was that far angry, right? Just holding on to that hostility with IU. I don't think Patino's hostility or anger, disappointment, whatever the right word is, I don't think that's necessarily directed at U of L. I think, like the last caller said, like, I think it's more at certain people who are in charge, who are placed in charge at that time. So, you know, I can't say 100% he would come back, but I think just from that video message, and then also to say, yeah, not every fan may want him back. The majority, I think, do, and I just go back to that video message because that was the loudest pop that entire season when Rick Pitino was on that video board. I was there at that game. I was lucky to have been at that game, and I'm just saying, like, this city still has so much love for him. So that's it. That's all I wanted to say. We got some love for him. I think he would come back. I think he'd be welcome back and go get those TBT tickets.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Look, he's 100% right about the first part in particular. If you have any option and any availability and ability to be there, don't pass up an opportunity. Look, this is a chance. This is fans. Like, NIL is a chance to get involved. This is too.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Especially with the team that I'm sure Pat Kelsey is going to be smart enough to be around and soak it in and try to use this. This is a chance to sort of build something organic that celebrates former players and helps the team right now. So I would hope that everyone would be there.
Yeah.
No, What's that smile for?
Oh, I'm trying to think of something to make it Bellarmine related because they're playing Bellarmine first game. Like Scotty will be there, and Scotty's going to sell the program high.
I love it. Scotty's going to sell the program high.
I'm probably leaning towards wearing Bellarmine gear that game.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. It's not right.
Hater.
Hater. Because that was the thing Russ brought up. He brought up the fact that the Bellarmine guys, they should get celebrated as well. And I think that's a pretty cool aspect of the first round game being played in Louisville, UofL versus Bellarmine. You know, everybody gets celebrated. And I think it's just a fun thing to do, man.
It is.
Like, it's just fun. It is. Like,
the Elam ending's fun.
Yes.
I agree with celebrating Bellarmine. I don't think I hope Pat Kelsey is like, let's play Bellarmine every which way we can.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Bellarmine succeeds at Louisville's expense at all.
No.
And so there's just nothing bad about supporting them and playing them on a regular basis and to some extent lifting their profile. Because I don't think that Louisville loses an ounce of shine at Bellarmine's expense. So I hope that they do. And Scott is a gem. Sorry.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
I always love when you buy games against teams in the state.
Sure.
You know, like to Jeff's alum of Western or Eastern or Moorhead or whoever. Because, you know, you lift up the state as well. Like, football, it's always fun to play the game as Murray, even though it's a blowout 9 times out of 10. I'd rather play those schools than, like, some random school like Georgia Southern.
I did want to briefly mention, because you can't not talk about this when you talk about Rick. Nicole Auerbach, this is the time of year where the NCAA is making rules changes for the upcoming year. One of the things that was discussed was the overall kind of appropriateness of vacation of records as a penalty. And while they didn't do anything, I'll read what they said very quickly. The council discussed the application of the vacation of records penalty in infractions cases, in which it largely supported the application of the penalty for cases involving ineligible student athletes, but expressed concerns about applying the penalty in cases where the violations resulted from administrative error by the school, which seems even worse.
Yeah.
The Division I Board of Directors Infractions Process Committee, what a mouthful, jeez.
Yeah, it was a lot.
is considering whether the vacation of records penalty should be a legislated core penalty for infractions cases. Core penalties are mandatory for cases involving certain violations. Currently, vacation of records is considered an optional penalty for cases in which student athletes competed while ineligible, but it is frequently applied in practice as if it were a core penalty for cases involving eligibility issues. The infractions process committee will continue to deliberate on the penalty during its July meeting. So they're at least having discussions about the appropriateness of it and when to apply it. And at some point, everyone's got to be like, why are we doing this to ourselves?
Yeah, I know. And it's also stupid because the losses still apply, but the wins get vacated. That's awesome.
There's not an ounce of consistency between the.
Yeah, like I'll read like a coach's bio. It's like, how are they like 0-3 this year? Oh, yeah, because they didn't count the wins. Yeah. It's just so stupid to look back. It's like, we saw the games being played, and now trying to remember, like.
You know what happened, though?
Yeah.
The NCAA will be like, you know what? You're right. We're going to vacate the losses, too. Not give us the wins back.
Yeah.
So like, okay, fine. You're right. We'll
take like the a team's like, too. I beat nobody.
Yeah, I didn't play at all.
Yeah. I just went 0-0.
Like 1980, Louisville technically played nobody in the national championship game because UCLA had to vacate that season.
That's right.
Stupid, man.
Beat the hell out of nobody.
Like, dominated. All of that is stupid. Like, it's so stupid. And, I mean, I think the erosion of the NCAA is coming very, very soon. But, you know, that's just me. I'm out there because I don't think it's sustainable to continue to try to apply some of these practices like this vacating of wins and stuff, or guys that are were ineligible for things that are now legal too. That's another thing. Like some of these things that deem these teams ineligible are things that are legal or things that were happening in other places. They just didn't get caught, whatever. So I'm interested that that's even like being brought up during these meetings, because once the talks start, that means we're one step closer to it being implied. Like,
and Les Miles can get to the Hall of Fame.
He could. I know one person that will be for.
They're going to change that rule, and still nobody's going to nominate him. That's the thing. He's got to have one of them schools that wants to nominate him. And that's the part that he's not addressing.
Yeah.
Is that none of the schools he coached that want to nominate
him. That is.
Yeah, not a chance in hell Kansas is doing that.
And well, LSU fired LSU him too. And sued him. Yeah. They're not going to do it either.
Yeah. I remember, like, one of the vivid things I remember was one of his last years at LSU, he had, like, they had like a pro day or something. He had a list of players' names that, like, he's like, these are bad people. They're great players, but they're like bad people. And I'm like, oh my God.
Was
like,
Odell on that list?
No, I forgot. Odell wasn't, but it was a couple of like notable names, like a couple of starters. They're like, hey, like, don't ask me about these guys because they're just like not good people. They're great players, not good people.
Tyron Matthew. I'm just trying to think who could have been on those teams.
That's probably one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he kicked him off the team. So it wasn't like, yeah, definitely don't ask me about him. So. Yeah, I'm interested to see how that goes. I wouldn't be mad about I mean, we're already starting the process of restoring some of the things that were done. Like, Reggie Bush got his Heisman back.
Yeah.
Different people, like, different things are being restored. They should restore, like, and once things like the banner at Louisville comes back, because that's probably the biggest vacate ever, like, taking away a national championship banner, then I feel good about that, because things like that do need to be restored. It's stupid for it not to be. Like, to act like we didn't, like Spencer said, we didn't witness what we saw Reggie Bush win the Heisman. We didn't witness, you know, Louisville winning the championship over Michigan. Like, Michigan still knows they lost the championship. Like, Vince Young still knows he lost the Heisman that year to Reggie Bush. Yeah. Like, there's no need to act silly. Restore things the way they probably should be.
Look, eventually that's going to change.
Yeah.
If nothing else, I would settle for 20 years. Mm. Like 20 years, and then you get to put it up. And that way, you do kind of feel the sting of sort of not getting to celebrate it in the immediate.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, we don't have to pretend like it never happened.
Yeah.
I could live with that, because we're almost there.
Yeah, we are almost there. I'm not bad at that at all.
Over halfway. Like, I could live with something like that. But look, the point of that is they're talking about it. In the event that we do finally get there, I do think Rick will be around.
I do too. I just don't know if it'd be right now, but like down the line, when it does happen, I think he'll be ready, and I think he'll be celebrated. I think he'll get a loud applause, and like you said, they'll be able to fill up a ton of seats wherever the event is held. So I'd be excited about that.
But look at to the caller's point. There's a lot to be gained from showing rabid support for this TBT team.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a chance to celebrate former players, but not less than that either.
Yeah.
Now, I want to take a break, and when we come back, it was just starting when we signed off yesterday, but we have not had a chance to talk about this worm that's coaching baseball down at Texas now.
Yeah.
because now that's a done deal.
Oh, my goodness.
And that dude sucks.
Yes.
We'll talk about that on the other side here on The Drive on 910 The Ball.